Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. Those great words just to finish with. Jesus, you are all to us. And that's what we've been thinking about as we're working through the book of Colossians. It's all about Jesus. And we pray that those would not just be words on a screen, but that would be our heart as well, that Jesus is all to us because Jesus is everything. Got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 2 as we continue in our series. And as you're looking that up, can I just reiterate what Campbell said about this evening? Really encourage you to come tonight when Tim and some friends from Friends in Action will be sharing about their ministry in Burkina Faso. And also just to highlight that we are planning to take a team from our church, a Carrick Baptist team, out to Burkina Faso in 2017 to help practically on with the wells, drilling water there, and just getting a real insight into the mission. And if you're interested, this is not a sign-up, sign the dotted line tonight, and you will definitely be going to Africa. This might just be an interest, an inquiry. If you're interested in joining our team heading out there next year, just do stay afterwards for a short meeting with the guys from Friends in Action, and they will give you lots more details as well. But we're going to turn to God's Word. We're going to turn to, say, the book of Colossians and chapter 2, and we're going to commence to read at verse 16. This is a letter. And a letter written to the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago, written to a local church. And even though it was written 2,000 years ago, it's God's Word, it's living, and it's relevant to us, a local church today. So let's listen to God's Word, starting to read at verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed out up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to the things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Amen. Now, last week, as you saw on our little video clips that we put on the screen, we hosted a Coaching for Christ week for the young children. It was a great week of teaching the children football skills, but more importantly, setting them down and teaching them God's Word, the Bible, every night. And we did that with the boys and girls. And then on Friday night, we had a little prize night here in the church. The parents were here, and we gave out some prizes. I shared a gospel message as well that night. And that was just for a short time. And then we moved outside into the car park, as you saw at the end of the video, and we had a family barbecue out in the car park. And we took the bottom section of the car park here, and we had a lovely lovely time together eating food. And we had set out chairs. The parents got the food with their children. They sat down, and they enjoyed some time together. And Friday night was a great night to have a barbecue. It had been dry all week, and we're very thankful to God for it being dry. But Friday night was the best night of the week. The sun was shining, if you remember, on Friday. It was a glorious evening, and it was a great night to stand around in a church car park, chatting to people, eating a hot dog, eating a bag of crisps, and just enjoying our family barbecue. So we had set all the seats out in this bottom end. The sun was shining, but we soon discovered a problem. Northland Court was built in the way. So apologies to all the residents of Northland Court, but it was blocking out the sun for part of the car park down here, and the very bottom part of the car park was cast in shadows. And we had set chairs out there, the sun was shining, and some people came, they lifted their hot dogs, and they went and they sat down in the seats that were in the shadows. Didn't they see it? The sun was shining, and they weren't getting the benefit of it. And some people didn't realize that they were sitting in the shadows. They got their food, got their family organized, and they sat down, didn't even realize. And on Friday night, I just took it upon myself just to walk around all the different family groups, wanted to talk, introduce myself to all the families, have a little conversation with as many people as possible. And as I came to the families who were sitting right at the far end of the car park, I said, "You're sitting in the wrong seats. Don't know if you realize this, but you're actually sitting in the shade. You better to get up and move and sit in the sunshine. Better to get up and enjoy the sun. Some got up, some moved, and some were happy just to stay where they were. The Colossian church who this letter was written to were genuine Christians. But danger had come into this church, and there was a danger that they might start following the false teachers. The false teachers were coming in and teaching extra things. There was a danger. There was a danger that these young Christians would move away, and they'd move away from the real thing. The thing was substance, which is Jesus Christ. And they'd move away from Christ, and they'd go back into the shadows. They'd move away from Christ, the substance, move into the shadows. Into the shadows, a place where it's cold, where it's dark, and where it's empty as well. Now, you might have listened to me as I did this reading, and you might have heard things about food and drink and festivals, new moons and Sabbaths and things. This kind of section in the letter, it's not relevant to us, food, drink, festivals. But we need to pay attention to what Paul is actually saying here in this passage. Because sadly, many people, many Christians, many churches are spiritually cold. They're spiritually dark. They are spiritually empty. They seem religious on the surface, but the reality is they're living in the shadows. And the reason they're living in the shadows is because they've left the substance. They've left the real thing, Jesus Christ. And they've replaced Jesus Christ with just religious observance. They're depending on what they do, their outward actions, rather than trusting and enjoying what Christ has already done for them. And the last section that we looked at last Sunday morning really made two points. The last section of verses told us that Jesus Christ is completely God. We saw that, and I think it was about verse 9. Yeah, verse 9 says, "For in him," that's Christ Jesus, "the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Jesus Christ is completely God. And then the next verse goes on to say, verse 10, "And you have been filled in him." You've been made complete in him. Jesus is completely God. And because he's completely God, if your faith and trust is in him, then you're complete. You're spiritually complete. He can complete you, give you full salvation, meet all your spiritual needs. Jesus is completely God, and you are spiritually complete in him. What's the point of that passage? Jesus Christ is totally sufficient for your spiritual needs. You don't need to go elsewhere, because all you need to be filled completely spiritually is found in Christ Jesus. And this section we started this morning starts with the word therefore. Now, if you're familiar with Paul's writings, it's a word he uses time and time again. He makes a point, and after he's made a spiritual point, he'll say, therefore. So what Paul's about to say here, our new section this morning from verse 16 down, flows out of the last section. This point he made, Jesus is completely God, you're spiritually complete in him, then what we're about to say flows out of that teaching. Or if you're at the men's breakfast yesterday morning, we learned a lot about this, where we were taught yesterday morning that the imperatives of Scripture flow out of the indicatives of Scripture. And lots of you are sitting there looking very blankly, going, "That's a foreign language, what he's talking about." If you don't know what that means, ask one of the men who was at the men's breakfast yesterday. They were instructed by John Bell. Really what that means, indicatives are truths. And Paul has just told us these staggering truths. Jesus is completely God, and you are spiritually complete when you are in him. That's a great spiritual truth. And then he gives us an imperative. He gives us a command. The Bible never gives us commands in isolation. It doesn't say, do this, do this, do this. It tells us these great spiritual truths. And in the light of these great spiritual truths, this is what you should do. This is how you should live your Christian life. So here's this great truth, who Christ is, who we are in Christ. Therefore, this is what you should do. Verses 16 and 17. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. These other things, they're shadows. They're cold, they're dark, and they're empty. Concentrate on the substance. What is the substance? Christ is sufficient. Christ is sufficient for your salvation. Christ is sufficient for all your spiritual needs. So don't let any other people come along with words that just sound like religious talk, but there's no real substance to them. They're just shadows. Don't let these so-called spiritual people come in and start to pass judgment on you because you're not eating the right food or you're not avoiding certain foods. Don't let these people come and pass judgment on you spiritually because of the things that you drink or you don't drink. Don't let people come and pass judgment on you because you don't observe these special holy days. Don't let these people come in and pass judgment on you. Because these false teachers have come in to the Colossian church and they're laying down rigid restrictions on the people. If you want to be holy, if you want to be spiritual, this is what you need to do. These are the things you need to observe. And really what they were bringing in was old Jewish ceremonial laws. You've got to do these things because these are necessary for your salvation and necessary for your holiness as well. Now, the Old Testament laws had a place. We don't just disregard what's here in the Bible. They're great for teaching us things. Do you know what the Old Testament laws taught us? They taught us a lot about God. And they taught us about God's character. And they taught us, teach us about God's holiness. And the Old Testament laws taught us about our need to be clean and to be pure and to be sinless and to be spotless, to be accepted by a holy and a righteous God. But you know what these Old Testament laws were? They were just shadows. They weren't the real thing. They were just pictures that pointed to something greater. In fact, they were pictures that pointed to somebody who was greater. The real substance, as Paul says here, is found in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came into the world. Jesus Christ was the one who fulfilled all the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law doesn't make sense until we see Jesus Christ, the one who came and fulfilled all those laws, all those demands, and all those regulations. You see, we could never keep all the Old Testament laws. We could try. We could try to keep them, but we wouldn't be able to keep them. We would never be totally pure. We would never be totally holy. We would never be totally sinless. We would never, ever get up to God's standard. But Jesus Christ came, one who was totally pure, totally holy, totally sinless. He came, he fulfilled the law in all its demands. And how was he able to do that? Because he is completely God. So Paul's already told us. And we can never completely follow these laws. But who is it who makes us complete? It's Jesus Christ, when we put our faith and trust in him. We're not made spiritually complete by avoiding certain food or drink. We're not made spiritually complete by observing religious days. We're made spiritually complete by trusting in what Jesus Christ has done for us. What he's graciously and lovingly done for us. I've said this a number of times through teaching over the past number of years. The thing that makes the difference between biblical Christianity and all the other religions in the world is two letters of the alphabet. All the other religions are spelled D-O, do. Do this, do this, do this, do that, and it will maybe get you up to the standard. Do you know biblical Christianity, how it's spelled? D-O-N-E. It's done. We could never fulfill all these laws, all these regulations, but Christ came. The perfect, complete one came. He fulfilled it all. He has done it all. When he died on the cross in our place, for our sins, he cried out, "It is finished, it's done, it's completed. Completed the task of dying for sins so that I can offer you something you don't deserve. It's done. You don't need to do anything. You will be spiritually complete through faith and trust in me." And these false teachers have come along, and what they're really teaching is legalism. We can see it summed up in verse 21. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. So that's basically what you can sum up their teaching. It's a list of negatives, things that you don't do. Don't handle this, don't eat that, don't touch that. Then he goes on, verse 22, referring to things that all perish as they're used. Paul's saying this is nonsense. There's no spiritual significance in food. You take it, you eat it, and it's gone. According to human precepts and teachings, that's just human wisdom, but the human wisdom is lacking. You don't measure spiritual life with these things. But you know what? I think sometimes legalism is our natural default position because it's easier, isn't it? It's easier to live that kind of life. Give me a list of things to do, then I'm in control of that. Here's what I need to do to please God, to get on his right side, to get into his good books. That's easier for us. We can try and measure our spiritual life. I'm doing well this week, or maybe I'm struggling this week. you know, the tick box of things we need to do, but that's not what it's about. It's not about what I can do. It's putting our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And do you know what legalism actually does? Legalism devalues Jesus Christ. What does a list of religious regulations say? It says that Jesus Christ is not enough. Jesus Christ is not sufficient. Jesus Christ cannot completely meet my spiritual needs because I need to do something. I need to do something. I need to avoid this food. I need to observe this day, and then I'll be right with God. No. That strips away from Christ. Christ is sufficient in his death, in his resurrection, and in the forgiveness and new life that he offers us. The Colossians had found their substance, had found the substance. They had found Jesus Christ. They were true, genuine believers. And so Paul says to them, don't listen to these false teachers. Don't let them make judgments about you. You're not spiritual. You're not holy. You're not right with God because you're not doing these list of things. Don't listen to these people. What they might say sounds spiritual, but actually it's taken away from the substance. It's taken away from Jesus Christ. Where is it bringing you to? It's making you sit in the shadow, where it's cold and it's dark spiritually and it's empty spiritually as well. Why sit in the shadows when you can enjoy the substance, Jesus Christ? And it wasn't just Jewish laws these false teachers were trying to force upon the people. Look at verse 18, mentions a few other things. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. Talks about asceticism. That was something they were pushing. Asceticism is really self-denial. If you want to know what that looks like, think of a monk. You know, somebody who goes and they get away from society. I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be contaminated by anybody. I'm gonna not eat things. I'm gonna fast for long periods of time. I'm not gonna drink. I'm not gonna talk for days. I'm gonna wear these kind of rough clothes as well. I'm gonna make life tough and hard for me, and if life's difficult, that might impress God even more. That's asceticism. Paul says, don't fall for that. Talks also there about worshiping angels. These false teachers back in Colossae, they actually venerated angels. They claimed that they could communicate with angels. They put a real overplay on these angels, give them lots of spiritual significance, which wasn't really due the angels, and they overplayed angels, and they actually underplayed Jesus Christ, who is the one who is completely God. And then it also says here in verse 18 about them going on and on in detail about visions. They claim to have these spiritual visions, spiritual messages that they couldn't prove, that didn't stand up alongside Scripture, had these messages that came from God that led to them being puffed up. Paul says, don't listen to these kind of things. And why have the false teachers started doing this, verse 19, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God? Do you know why they started doing this? Because they're not holding fast to the head. They've become separated. Who is the head? The head of the body, of the church, is Jesus Christ. These false teachers aren't holding fast to Christ. They've let their grip slip. Imagine there's a person standing here at the front. Person here, human body, that you can all see. Imagine I come down and I just separate the head. Take the head off. It's a gruesome scene, isn't it? It's brutal. It's horrible. And what will it be for the rest of the body? It'll be fatal. That body cannot survive. Certain death. Christ is the head of the church. That's a great image that you find in different places in Scripture, in the New Testament. When Jesus Christ makes a difference in somebody's life, when somebody becomes a Christian, they become part of the church. God doesn't leave you as an individual struggling on your own. He brings you into the body. He brings you into the church, connected together, connected to one another, and connected to the head, who is Jesus Christ. He brings us into the church, universal, believers all across the world, all across time as well, and also local churches. There's the preference, or not a preference, but a significance in Scripture of local churches. Paul's writing to a local church here. We are a local church. in a geographical area here, and we are part of the body if you're a believer, and we are connected to the head, and we need to hold fast to the head, who is Christ Jesus. And what does the head do for the body? As you see it here in verse 19, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. What does the head do for the body? It nourishes the body. Christ nourishes the church. Christ holds the church together. What else does he do? He gives the church its life. He helps the church grow, to grow spiritually and grow together. What are the false teachers doing? They're not holding fast to the head. They've removed the head from the body. And they've taken Christ away and they've replaced it with a list of rules, a list of regulations, and a list of rituals to follow as well. Paul says this is illogical. Look at verse 20. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, or the basic spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Paul says that was your old way of life. You used to be into religious observance, trying to earn your favor with God. That was your old way of living. But you put that to death. When you became a Christian, when you put your faith and trust in Christ, who is completely God, you were spiritually complete in him, you were holding fast to him, that old way of following regulations was put to death, and you had this new life joined with Christ. Why would you go back to something you've already put to death? And he also says, it's dangerous to do this. It's dangerous to not hold fast to Christ. Look at the start of verse 18. Let no one disqualify you. So he's saying to a group of believers, don't listen to these false teachers, because if you listen to them, it might actually disqualify you. The phrase that Paul uses here, the original language, is an athletic term. It refers to the games, an athlete running around a track, that kind of thing. And sometimes they could be disqualified. What did that phrase, being disqualified in an athletics term, mean? The phrase that Paul uses. It referred to somebody losing the prize. They were on track to win a prize, but they've done something and they've disqualified themselves and they have lost the prize. See, Christians, if you're a real, true Christian, you're born again by the Spirit of God, then you are a true believer. You cannot lose your salvation. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, you cannot be unborn by the Spirit of God. You cannot lose your salvation. But you can be disqualified from some things. You can forfeit your spiritual reward. The Bible talks about spiritual rewards that the Lord will give to believers in the coming days. You know those words? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. There will be rewards given for how we've lived our lives here as believers, how we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Paul says there's consequences here. If you listen to these false teachers, if you lose your grip on the head, Christ, you'll step into the shadows where it's spiritually cold, it's spiritually dark, and it's spiritually empty. You could disqualify yourselves from spiritual rewards in the future. This morning, I wonder where you're sitting. Let's think back to our barbecue Friday night. Some were sitting in the shadows. Some were out in the sun, enjoying its warmth and its light. Better than sitting in the cold, dreary shadows. Perhaps you're here this morning, and as you think about yourself spiritually, and if you're honest with yourself, do you know what? There's never been that time in your life where you've stepped out of the shadows. The whole of your life you've been living in the shadows. You've never experienced the substance. You've never fully experienced or started to enjoy the substance of Jesus Christ, who is completely God and can make you spiritually complete. Perhaps you're here and you're religious, you come to church, you're faithful in your church attendance, you have good morals, you're an upstanding person, but you're trusting in what you do. I'll be okay maybe on the final day because, well, my good might outweigh my bad. And for you, if you're honest with your heart and your life, it's just about religious observance, things that you do to win favor with God. And outwardly, it looks credible. Maybe it looks credible to other people, but sadly, it's only a shadow. That's where you're sitting this morning, there's no substance. You're not trusting in Jesus Christ and what he has done. You're not enjoying all the spiritual blessings that come from holding fast to the one who is the head of the church, the one who gives us life and helps us grow spiritually as well. We are made spiritually complete by holding fast to Christ. So if that is you this morning, if you've never stepped out of the shadows, you need to do that this morning. You need to trust Jesus Christ. There's an old hymn that says, I surrender all. I surrender all. I give all my life, all my little efforts to try and win favor. They, no matter what I do, will never be good enough. I'll never fulfill the law. I'll never be able to keep all these regulations. I can't do it, but I'm going to surrender all that, all my feeble efforts. I'm going to put them to the side, and I'm going to put my complete trust in one who is completely God, and it can make me spiritually complete. And you step out of the shadows, and you put your faith and trust in a glorious Savior. And for the first time in your life, you hold fast to the one who is the head. You become part of the body, the church. And you hold fast to him, and you start to experience the light, the warmth that comes from having the substance of having Jesus Christ, the one who helps you grow spiritually, and he joins you together with other believers as well. Can I challenge you this morning, if you're still sitting in the shadows, step out and trust Christ. Maybe you want to talk about it. I'd love to chat to you. Or maybe you have trusted Christ as your Savior. We'd love to encourage you in your faith. Come and chat with us. Share that with us. Love to pray with you and encourage you in your new faith in Christ Jesus as well. And if you find the substance, if you find Christ Jesus, why would you go back to the shadows? Why would you go and sit back there? Let me speak to the Christians here this morning. Because sadly, too many Christians, let's be honest, let's speak truthfully, too many Christians, too many Christian lies have no real substance. There are many people that are genuine Christians, but deep down they know, if they're being honest with themselves, their spiritual life is cold and it's empty and it's lifeless. And why is that the experience of many? Because they're not holding fast to the head. They started by looking and trusting Christ Jesus. Maybe in your Christian experience, there was a time when you enjoyed Christ. You were daily submitting to him. You looked to his spiritual power that he gives for daily living. You made Christ preeminent in your life. You were enjoying the substance. You were enjoying his power for daily living. Enjoying the warmth and the light and the life that comes from knowing Christ Jesus as your Savior. But slowly over time, you've just let that slip and you've moved away back into the shadows. You haven't walked away from your faith. You haven't abandoned your faith. You're still coming along the church. You're still going through the motions. But your Christian life's just a ritual. And it's just a routine. Church attendance is just a duty. It's not a desire to be here. It's just a desire to be here to be God's people. To listen to his word. To sing his praise. It should be delight. This is God's plan for his body to meet together in a local church. Reading God's word and prayer, it's just occasional. Maybe it's just a token duty. Your conscience pricks you, say, I need to do that. You do it, but you're not holding fast to Christ. There's no joy, there's no delight, there's no desire to grow in your faith. Maybe it's you this morning. You've let things slip. It's just become a ritual. It's just become a routine. Maybe it's a list of these. Well, I'm okay because I don't handle this. And I don't taste this, and I don't touch that. Just shadows. Shadows of the real living relationship with the substance, Christ Jesus. The living Christ has no real place in your daily life. It's not a living relationship, it's just cold, empty, and lifeless. You might not be observing Jewish law days, you might be worshiping angels, but you're not enjoying the substance, you're not enjoying Christ Jesus. So let's all examine our hearts. Let me examine my heart. Very easy to be a pastor, to tick the boxes, just be involved in religious activity day in, day out, and yet not holding fast in my heart and in my life to Christ Jesus. Let's hold fast to Christ again, the one who gives life, the one who nourishes us spiritually, and the one who helps us grow. So this morning, are we sitting in the shadows? Are we going through religious routines here this morning? Are we holding fast and enjoying the substance? Christ Jesus. What I want to do as we finish here this morning is give a few moments just to reflect on God's word. So often we hear God's word and we let it pass. And we don't think about it. We sing a song, we turn to the person beside us, and we leave the building. But let's take a few moments just in silent reflection, perhaps silent prayer, just to respond to God's word. Perhaps here this morning, for the first time, this will give you an opportunity to step out of the shadows and trust Christ and hold fast to him. Maybe you're here and you think, yeah, I'm a believer, but it's just a routine. Just going through rituals here this morning. And come again. And fix your eyes on Christ Jesus. Hold fast to him. Come back to him in your heart and in your mind. And ask him just to nourish you spiritually. And realize that you're spiritually complete when you're in him. Or maybe your spiritual life's going well. You're enjoying Christ. You're holding fast to him. Pray that God will give you the spiritual strength to keep on holding fast to Christ Jesus. Let's take a few moments just in silent reflection, silent prayer as we respond to God's word. And then I'll pray and invite the musicians to come and lead us in our final hymn. Let's take a few moments. Dear Father, we thank you that Christ Jesus is somebody of substance. He is completely God. And all our spiritual needs are met completely in him. Not through things that we do, but we thank you that Jesus Christ has done it all. He's done it all. And he offers us all these spiritual blessings that we don't deserve, but he gives it to us as this free gift of grace and love. And help us to hold fast to the head, Christ Jesus. Help us daily to look to him, to nourish us spiritually, to help us grow spiritually as well. Help us not to live in the shadows. Help us to step out into the glorious light. And we thank that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He gives us spiritual light and meets all our spiritual needs. Bless us, we pray. In Christ Jesus. Amen.